Thank you so much,
Blog
Warren.
Talk Radio.
Thank you that we find a young man that there was no fault mentioned of him in the scriptures, and we may we learn from his character. And, Father, we ask now that you pray for our country and for folks to have an open heart toward those that are homeless, that are truly are homeless. And I pray, Father, for those that will be coming. I pray for their traveling mercies. And most of right now, most of all, Lord, I pray that you use me to share your word with those that are here. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for Brother Ed, too. I pray for Brother Ed that you comfort him, Lord. And Lord, his will would be circumvented by your will. Yours and his will be the same. Comfort him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. He's not a young man, is he? Oh, okay. No, he's not. Yes, he's young. You know, about the homeless, I used to go down to the rescue mission. And I had this guy to talk to, and got to talking to him. And his dad was a deacon at some church in Georgia. And pretty much, long short of it, he wanted to be on the street. And most of those guys want to be on the street. They don't want to work. They don't want. When I worked at the Home of Grace, I used to do the roll call in the morning at the residential rehab. And now and then, we'd have a guy. We different guys, but we'd call out their name and say, "Where's so and so? Oh, he took off last night. He's out in the woods. Packed his bag. He's out in the woods. He had enough." And a lot of guys will go into a rescue mission or a rehab or something to get free hots in a cot, get a little food in the belly, go see the doctor, you got free doctor care, and then they're going again. And they're on the circuit. They go on the circuit. The same guy that you see cooking in New Orleans, 3 months before that, he was cooking at the rescue mission in Houston. And then before that, he was in California at the Los Angeles Rescue Mission. That's their life. You know, some guys can't make it out of prison and live a normal life. They like they'll do something to go in prison, then so that because they can't make it outside prison. And we're going to kind of, that kind of leads into what we're going to have in today about talking about Joseph in his prison ministry, and his time in prison. But I want to go to chapter 39 and verse 21. First of all, I had one guy who was homeless, and I used to do this counselor for the Bridge House. He used to ask me to do a fifth step in the AA program with some guys. They needed a minister or somebody. So I do it, and I remember Barefoot Bob. Barefoot Bob, I asked him, I said, he get brought his binder, and you got to write out all your sins and all of that, all your faults. And so I'm going over that with him. Come on in. And I said, well, why did they call you Barefoot Bob? Did I say this one before? No, okay. I go by my monitor here. She knows. Barefoot Bob. And I said, why do they call you Barefoot Bob? And he says, well, every time I get a pair of shoes, I sleep by the dumpster. And somebody steals them from me when I'm sleeping. So I said, forget about it. I just won't get none. I'll just go barefoot. Oh, okay. And I said, man, well, you want to live that lifestyle? And then he asked me, he says, you got a mortgage? I said, yeah. You got a wife? I said, yeah. You got a car note? I said, yeah. He says, I ain't got none of that. I don't want none of that. I said, okay. So that's the homeless. Most of them want to be homeless. or they can't hold down a job. They don't want to be responsible. So let's talk about, I want to look at Genesis 39, 21, and we're going to look at a prisoner, another prisoner, and how he handled his prison time and his prison ministry. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand, Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So Joseph had a prison ministry. It was God's will for Joseph to be in jail, in prison. You see the same thing with Peter when he was locked up. Same thing with Paul. Paul led some guys to the Lord. We don't know how many, but he led some guys to the Lord when he was in prison. When he was a prisoner, they would shackle him to a centurion or a Roman soldier for 6 hours, and then they switch out. So Paul had 6 hours to witness to that centurion and everybody in prison. When he wrote Philippians from prison. He says, my bonds, hey, don't worry about my bonds. They're the furtherance of the gospel. Because the prisoners that he met and then all the soldiers that he met, we don't know how many were led to the Lord and how they were ministered. But now we see here how prosperous Joseph is in jail, that the keeper of the prison didn't care about nothing. Go ahead, do your thing. Well, how did he get there? Let's see how he got there. All right, let's go up to verse 1, chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him by the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. this is a young, you know, but how much different should we be in Joseph than Joseph, knowing that the Lord is with us in everything that happens to us? And it's not pleasant all the time, the things that happen to us. So, but whatever Joseph did, he prospered. And we just read where God was given the credit. And I believe Joseph was continuously giving the credit to the Lord. Because, you know, they had all these other foreign gods. They worshiped the cows in Egypt. And so let's read on. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I love that. He says, sin against God. you know, I don't want to hurt your boss's feelings, you know. And, you know, who knows what she'd look like, you know. I'm just kidding. But he gave credit to God. That's why he didn't want to sin against God. Not because of his position, not because of what might happen to him. It's because of God. He didn't want to sin against God. Verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He was distancing himself from her. He wouldn't even probably go by wherever she was laying around. And so it came to pass about that time that Joseph went in to the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And I wouldn't put it above her to make sure there was nobody there. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me, and I fled and fled out. He fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard these words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. What do you think of that? I think that, what's his name, Potiphar, right? He knew that Joseph didn't do that. He had more respect for Joseph than he did his wife. And it probably wasn't the first time that this kind of thing happened. And so he had the power to have him executed immediately. Potiphar did, because he was the in charge of the prison. He was in charge of the prison guards, and it wasn't nothing for him to lop his head off. So I don't think he believed his wife. So, and we see right here, verse 21, and the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So now he goes, he's got a reputation from Potiphar and from everybody else that he was in charge of, and that he ran Potiphar's house and everything. And now he's going to go to the prison, and the keeper of the prison is going to give him in charge of everything. So he's got a good reputation. He's given God the praise. And so he goes into prison, and he starts his prison ministry. So let's go to chapter 40. Any questions, comments? And it came to pass, verse 1 to 40, came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord and the king, the lord, the king of Egypt. Okay. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And the Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into prison at the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. Now, this kind of prison is like a, well, I don't want to say a minimum security prison, but it's where all the kings are at. All the king's prisoners are at. I had a, when I was counseling at the Home of Grace, I had a guy that the Secret Service, no, the Marshals, U.S. Marshals and the FBI used to call the poo-poo man. And I asked him, what do I call you the poo-poo man for? He says, well, I used to have a port-a-john business, and I used to let them go dump it sometimes in the cornfield, and we use it for deer feed in the winter. And but it was too close to the river, so the remains would go into the river. They would pollute the river. Well, they had this. They had him all scoped out. They had the dirty water and everything. And so he was out fishing in the he was from Alabama, and he was out there one day. The FBI swamped into the cornfield. Helicopter came down, and they arrested the poor boy that was filling in for him because he was out fishing, young guy, and they put him in a federal prison. They went and arrested him and his dad because the boy dropped off money, and they was going to put his dad and him in federal prison. Well, he went to federal prison. He went to minimum security prison somewhere in Alabama, and they had two guards for 480 prisoners. And he said, if you had a cousin that looked like you, you could pay him $1,000, switch out for 3 days, and he could take your place. And so I'm not saying that it's that type of prison, but this prison was, let's say, for special high-ranking officials, okay? But look what he says here in verse 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Joseph served those prisoners. That was his attitude. Whatever he was going to do, he was going to be the best at it, do the best at it. He served the prisoners. He wasn't feeling sorry for himself. He wasn't complaining. We don't hear nothing about him complaining. He took it as God's will that he was to be here, and he was to have this ministry, if we can say it, in serving this baker or chef, whatever you call him, and the butler. Yeah, the baker and the butler. Now, verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore are you so sadly today? Why are you so sad today? Yeah, this man, he's more concerned about those around him than himself. He notices that they're sad. Verse 8, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream. There is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, that three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast in was his butler. And you see, so he wasn't what we think of butler and somebody that answers the door, he's got a nice tux on, he takes your hat when you come in. He was a cupbearer. So he tasted everything that went into the pharaoh's, the pharaoh was going to eat before he would eat. So it's very important. Okay, verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of the house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in a dream, and behold, I had three white baskets. Now look, look what he says here. He asked this cupbearer, look, remember me, okay? I've done nothing to be in this dungeon. Okay. That's what Joseph told the cupbearer. Right, verse 17, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head off of thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh. Verse 20, and it came to pass at the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler, of the chief, and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph before, but forgot him. So it usually happens, fortunately. Any comments? All right, let's go to 41. It gets good now. That wasn't good. Right. Yeah, I'm glad I was a butler. Joseph and Daniel are the only two people in the Bible that there's nothing negative said about them. Joseph and Daniel. Whatever you read about them and what they did, it's positive. And Joseph, there's a lot of chapters, there's a lot of words dedicated to his action. But this was a time where God was really protecting Israel. He protected Israel when Jacob, Judah, kind of, well, he went after that whore and harlot, but that saved the seed, the Messiah seed, even though that was that type of activity that saved the Messiah seed. And so then we see here that there's going to be a great famine in the world, and that could have killed all Jacob and all of his people. And so we see that God has brought Joseph in this area to be in this position for to prepare Israel to be saved from this famine that went all over the world. I know some of these things happened to y'all. When Katrina hit, I had made arrangements for us to take a vacation in Branson a year before. In the August of 2004, I had made reservations for us all to be in Branson. Got a timeshare, 3-bedroom condo, my kids and my grandkids, my wife and myself. And then when Katrina hit, my kids were already in Branson. I was in Iraq. I took a job over in Iraq. But they weren't even around when Katrina hit. They didn't even get into the big mess of traffic that was and the chaos and all of that. And I give God the credit because he, a year before that, arranged for us to have that reservation and everything was ready. And so I see that here. I see this. Joseph is the one that's going to save Israel and the seed of the Messiah. And what? How God does it? He does it like this. And so let's read on this chapter. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, the Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood up by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. Now, I'm going to go to old Skip and what he's got to say about that east wind in his book. He says a lot of good things in here. Right. Let's see. The east wind. The dreamers merge. Okay. Ah, here it is. The troubled dream awakened Pharaoh, who then fell asleep, only to dream again. This is on page 245, bottom of the second to last paragraph. The troubling dream awakened Pharaoh, who then fell asleep, only to dream again. This time he saw a Casimin scorching Egypt's grain. A Camson is a southeast wind that bellows from the Sahara across Egypt every spring, heating everything in its path with a rise in temperature of 50 to 60 degrees in a few hours. This wind can wither crops almost instantly. When Pharaoh woke up, he wanted answers. His dreams focused on 2 greatest assets of ancient Egypt, cows and grain. His entire economy, supported by the Nile River, hinged on these 2 commodities. So we can see the importance there and the type of wind that he's talking about, and it was not unusual. It was not unusual for this to happen. But this must have been a real big one. Verse 6, and behold, 7 thin ears blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto the Pharaoh. Now, these wise men, that was their purpose in life. You know, it's like the cabinet members of the president today. Their specialty was in reading the hieroglyphics, reading different, you know, they were other gods and all of that. But they were experts on the hieroglyphics and everything. And they couldn't come up with anything. Verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward to the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. Y'all remember in the Ten Commandments that Yul Brynner was bald? Well, he was always bald, I guess. But the Egyptians shaved themselves. They didn't believe in any hair on the head. Now, the Hebrews, they believe in beards and all of that stuff. But Egyptians, they believed in being bald. If you see any, carvings of them, they might have a little goatee. Well, that's patched on. That's taped on. That's not them. They didn't believe, they would just put that on for looks. And so they believed in being shaved completely. And so that's why they're talking about that he was shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. And verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Again, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Can you see the confidence? I mean, you know, he's not afraid to say his, give his testimony before anybody will tell us what it is. Now, they believed in all kind of gods. We know that from Exodus. And Pharaoh said, verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came out of the river seven kind. Now, that's a cow. Fat fleshed, well favored, and then fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored. As it the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered, thin, blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream, I'm thinking about this, and I'm going to forget it if I don't say it right now. God told Abraham that his offspring, his descendants, were going to spend 400 years in Egypt. And this is the beginning of that 400 years right here. And so God's keeping his promise. Took a couple days. But he kept his promise. So let's get back to the story. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh that he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Amen. But you don't want to.
Hey, Miss Lou. Get through there. Yes, sit here. I'll carry you. unless you use to balance yourself.
I'm just moving the table.
Oh, that's better. That's better. I didn't take any.
Somebody was leaving.
We're in Genesis 41, and we're talking about Pharaoh's dream. Joseph has already gotten in trouble with Potiphar's wife, and I don't believe Potiphar believed her, but he had to do something. So he put him in minimum security prison with the other political prisoners. And we find that Joseph didn't waste his time. He ministered to people. He gave God the credit for that ministry and everything else. And now Pharaoh is getting his dream interpreted by Joseph because all the magicians couldn't figure it out. He went to the magicians first. And then the Pharaoh says, man, you guys can't figure it out. And then the cupbearer, you know, then all of a sudden, oh, you know, there's a guy in prison that told me about, interpreted my dream, and it came true. And I believe he can interpret this dream for you. So they call Joseph out of jail, and they come, and in verse 25, Joseph talks about this dream. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Okay, I already read all of that. 28, thank you. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out at a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay upon corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is a man of whom the Spirit of God is? I haven't checked it out, but I think it's about the second time that the Spirit of God is used in Genesis. And whom the Spirit of God is. Man, Joseph is making Pharaoh a believer. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to the word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him in a vesture of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second SUV limousine which he had. And this guy goes, in the morning, he's in prison, all grubby and everything. The afternoon, he's all decked out with the finest. He's got gold chain all over, his necklace and everything else, riding a chariot, you know, in the evening. He's going from rags to riches. He went from being the good boy with the pretty coat, dad's favorite, and then going to rags. Then he went to riches, being Potiphar's servant. Then he went back to rags. And so then he was forgotten about for 2 years. Now they remembered him when it was chaos, and now he's back in riches. Now, you know, that's a depressing life. I mean, you think you got how many times you got to lose? But it all prepared Joseph for what he was going to do. Everything in our life, depressing or exciting or whatever, remember, God is preparing you for something. The main thing is, you know, when you're down and you're in the dumps and life is rough and things ain't going, you ask God, where yet? But now Joseph is on the top of the world. He's got it all. He's got everything. And prosperity can ruin a person quicker than being down and out. You look at all these celebrities. They can't handle prosperity. All these football players, they can't handle prosperity. But when they were working hard and everything else, they didn't have anything. They had their goals before them. They were okay. But once they made it, boom, they lost everything. And so it could have been that Joseph stayed there 2 other years in the prison, was forgotten about. Maybe God had to work on him a little, refine him some more. And I know that God's always refining us. Isn't that right, Miss Lou? Amen.
If you're looking for him.
Yeah.
I'm looking more now at this time in my life than
ever. Amen. Amen. That's words of wisdom right there. Okay. Okay, let's see. Okay, all right. And verse 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride in a second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. And that's a change, huh? Bow the knee. But God prepared him for that, for all the things that he went through. Okay, verse 44, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. I don't know why he did that to him. And he gave him to wife Asenath and the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. So he goes, I'm sure they had some discussions about God. And Joseph went all over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from presence of Pharaoh, went through all the land of Egypt. And in 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food in 7 years which were in land Egypt. He laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city laid he up. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph was born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the first Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called was Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So God helped him forget, and then to be fruitful. Skip calls it amnesia and ambrosia. Okay. Verse 53. In the 7 years of plenteous, that was the land of Egypt, were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according to as Joseph had said, and the dearth was all the lands. But in the land of Egypt, there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over in all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore, so sore in all lands. So that's where we end. And we see God use this young man, even though he went through a lot of stuff. So God's preparing each one of us, no matter what your age is, no matter what you've been going through, there is always lessons for God to use us. And if he was finished with us, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. God's got a reason and a purpose for each one of us. And we don't know where, we can't understand it, but he does give us little hints now and then. And we just make sure that we give him the credit for everything in our life. Any questions or comments? Okay, we did it. Three chapters. Okay. We're going to, next week we'll do 42 and 43 at least. So let's have a word of prayer. Any comments?